Blog Talk Radio.
How do you celebrate your anniversary? With colors like Party Time, Champagne, and Jubilee, we celebrate ours with color. Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 35% on paints and stains during our anniversary sale, August 15th through the 18th. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store and save 35% today. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. This is America's Great Loop Cruisers Association's weekly blog radio. I'm here alone today, Janice Cromer. I'm the director of America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. But before we get started, I would like to just mention and thank our Admiral sponsors. We really appreciate their participation, and that would be Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazine, and Skipper Bob Publications. They will all be represented at our fall rendezvous in Rogersville, Alabama in October. Now, America's Great Loop Cruisers Association, or AGLCA, is an organization of people who share a sense of adventure and camaraderie of America's Great Loop. For those not familiar with the Great Loop, it's the continuous waterway that circles the eastern portion of North America. Our association was formed to disseminate information about this awesome journey. For those who wish to learn more about the Great Loop, please visit our website at www.greatloop.org. Non-members can join the association at the site, or anyone can sign up for one of our new one-day seminars that will give you a wealth of information about the cruising lifestyle that is the Great Loop. Right now, the first one is scheduled for November in Charleston and then mid-January in Fort Myers, Florida. I'm really pleased to tell you that our guest hosts this week are Captain Larry and Wynn Martin, Gold Loopers from St. Paul, Minnesota. They've gone to a lot of flexibility in their schedule to help us out this week, and I appreciate it. The Martins completed their loop in 2006 on their 25-foot Rosboro RF-246 sedan cruiser. As are many of our blog radio co-hosts, Captain Larry and Wynn act as harbor hosts for AGLCA. The subject of our show this week is Trailer of the Boats, and we'll hear all about the lifestyle of cruising the loop in a smaller, transportable boat. Larry and Wynn, thank you so much again for being with us today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much for the invitation.
Well, thank you. Let's start with the simple question, why a trailerable boat? What precipitated your decision to do this?
When?
Well, I would say that when we bought the Rosboro, at least in my mind, I wasn't thinking about taking a Great Loop. We were simply looking for something that would work well for weekends on the water or for the occasional vacation. So that was, and so the fact that it could be portable seemed like a good choice.
So you didn't buy it initially, with the specific purpose of doing the loop?
No, I don't think so.
How long did you have the boat before you started the loop?
Larry, do you want to go?
What did we have before? Well, we had, immediately before, we had a 19-foot Four Winds runabout with 130-horse inboard-outboard engine.
Uh-huh.
And we used that. We used it for skiing and all those things. And we had a $1,300 camper top built on it when it was new in 1990. Before that, I had canoes and a bass boat, So I did a lot of canoeing as a youth and young man and graduate student. But we wanted a salty boat, and the Rossboro is very salty. We didn't want a houseboat or anything that looked like it wasn't fit for the sea.
How long did you have the Rossboro before you started the loop?
We bought it in about, 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so three years later, we ended up deciding to take the loop.
Very, very interesting. I did a little bit of research on the Rossboro just because I was so interested in it. If I have any of this information wrong, would you please correct me? But your boat was 25 feet, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, that's what the manufacturer says. Actually, it's about 28 and a half feet if
Is
you
it?
Include the bow, the anchor at the front.
Uh-huh.
And the outboard engines at the back. But the hull is 25 feet. Yeah.
And it's a relatively light boat, 7,500 pounds?
Approximately, yeah, maybe 8,000, 8,500 when you have it full of gas and
yes,
water.
Yeah. Now, what do you use to tow your boat? I'm sorry, what is your boat's name?
Wileaway.
Wileaway. And then wait.
Yeah, it was kind of a combination of our two names, Wynn and Larry, and the notion was that we while away our time on the water.
Great. And what do you use to tow her?
We hire it done at this point. We don't own a pickup truck.
Really?
Pull a boat of this? Correct. Yeah, we've never trailered it except fairground.
Okay.
For winter storage once.
Uh-huh.
I paid a fellow $150 to tow it out there in the fall, and we stored it in the horse barn till spring, and then I paid him another $150 to tow it back to the St. Paul Yacht Club, and that seemed a whole lot cheaper than buying a pickup truck.
Sure. I like that option. It's much better and a lot more convenient.
Yeah. Go ahead, Lynn.
Oh, I was going to say, I think one of the things, you know, we thought we would end up buying a truck and doing a lot of trailering and taking it here or taking it there, but we keep it in a marina in downtown St. Paul on the Mississippi River, and we are both so fond of river boating that we find we can, you know, take really any vacation we want simply by using the Mississippi or the St. Croix River, which feeds into it, and we've had many wonderful vacations that way.
Fantastic. Now, it gets pretty good speed if you need it, doesn't it?
Well, it'll go about 18 miles an hour, according to the GPS. Depends on the power you have on them, you know. The boat is a little trawler, and trawlers traditionally are a displacement hull. They go slower than, I mean, they go maybe 8 or 10 miles an hour or so. But we have two 50-horse outboard Yamaha engines, four-stroke engines. So that's a total of 100 horsepower, and it will fly along loudly, and it's a semi-displacement hull. So the back third of the boat always remains in the water, the back third of the hull, and it lifts it up. That helps with economy. We got 2 miles to the gallon the first 3 days of our loop trip. We were running wide open to try to get to Alabama for the Joe Wheeler reunion. We finally decided that was foolish to be going that fast and that noisily and only getting 2 miles to the gallon.
Oh.
So we started running slower, and we rented a car and drove to Alabama. And then we came back to the boat and resumed the loop.
What kind of fuel mileage do you typically get, say, at, you know, a trawler 7 or 8 knots?
When?
I have trouble sort of converting in terms of, see, I knew Larry would know the answer. I know that, you know, if you go back to 2005, fuel prices were lower. than they are now. But at that time, you know, when we took the trip, we basically set a pace. We spent the entire year on the loop, and we were averaging about $500 a month for fuel, which, you know, meant that for the most part we just were taking our own easy speed and having fun with it rather than trying to be in a race to get from one marina to the next each day.
Was water tank capacity ever a problem, or did you basically stay at marinas, or?
May I just say something more about the miles per gallon?
Sure.
Janice, going right wide open all day, it will get 2 miles to the gallon at about 16 or 18 miles an hour. 2 miles to the gallon, okay? On the overall loop, we got 3 miles to the gallon running both engines and at a variety of speeds. But we went a lot of the times at 3,000 RPMs and maybe 12 miles an hour, but running both engines. And then we can go slow on one engine and with the other engine in the water to help keep it from yawing back and forth, left and right. In fuel conservation mode, we can get a good 4 miles to the gallon, and with current, we can get 5 miles. If we're going down current, we can get 5 miles to the gallon in a 1 mile an hour current.
Excellent.
So we drove, we went on a 48-mile trip from St. Paul to Treasure Island Marina, an Indian casino and fine marina near Red Wing, Minnesota. 48 miles, it was eight gallons of gas, or 8 1/3. It was almost 6 miles to the gallon, but some of that was current. A little bit of that was current.
Wow, that's still fantastic. So it's an economical
one
way
engine
to do the loop.
Yeah, it's very economical. The boat is economical. And if you just want to go out and ride around slowly, you know, just to be on the boat and moving slowly on a river, you don't need a lot of power. You don't need to go fast. So you can do that, and the cost is the fuel is negligible.
Mm-hmm.
Janice, going back to one question you had about whether we ever had a problem with having enough fuel in our tank, there certainly are some places on the trip where it's a little harder to find a marina, but we did not run into any difficulties that way, even, you know, in terms of that last stretch, you know, from Hoppies over to Paducah and beyond into Kentucky, we were fine in terms of having enough fuel. That wasn't an issue for us.
Sure.
And the other thing I think you asked was about, you know, did we go to a marina every night? And like anyone else, we were kind of nervous about that whole notion of anchoring out in strange waters, you know. But I would say that on average, as we got through the year, we're anchoring out about 40% of the time.
Did you?
A lot more time at marinas at the beginning of the trip and less towards the end.
Back to fuel for a minute, how much fuel can you carry on the 25-foot trawler?
Well, ours is the low-sided version, which they built until about 2003 or 4 or so. It holds 80 gallons, but the new ones hold 120, I believe. 120 gallons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what about water tank capacity? If you were anchoring out a lot, did you have any trouble having enough water?
No. When? You want to say?
If I remember right, it's about 28 gallons in terms of our water capacity. And you just learn to conserve. I mean, we did a lot of fairly simple eating on the boat, you know, and it wasn't so much of a concern because we would be at a marina every, you know, say 2 to 3 days, worst case scenario.
Uh-huh.
And so you would just do things like instead of showering, you're going to be jumping in the water wherever you are, or you're going to save and not shower until you get to a marina. And, you know, taking a shower is probably the biggest water usage you could have. Beyond that, you're just using it for cooking. And we did a lot of crackers and sandwiches and light, what you'd call, you know, sandwich meals rather than fancy cooking.
Uh-huh.
We
and
do
did you
have
any problem
and,
with having to be able to store enough provisions so that you didn't have to go shopping every couple of days?
We were fine. I think if I would say that when you travel in a smaller boat like this on the loop, you have to just sort of be of the mindset that it's a little bit more like camping than cruising. You know, so you are going to have fairly simple meals. We ate, I would say, a fair share of tuna fish and didn't, you know, if we were going to have a hamburger or something like that, that was going to be on shore at a restaurant.
Okay.
It wasn't going to be something that we were cooking because on the Rossford, our refrigerator on the older version was small. I mean, you're thinking about a teeny tiny college size refrigerator.
I was going to say, like a college dorm.
Yeah, and you know, whereas if you're out on a weekend, you might say, oh, we'll just have a cooler and we'll get ice and we'll deal with that. You're not going to do that. At least we didn't choose to do that because you'd be stopping for ice and trying to take care of it. So we simply carried less.
Was there a galley on it? I mean, is there a workable galley on the troller?
Oh, yeah.
Running
water,
paint soap?
We have cold running.
Uh-huh.
We have hot and cold running water, and we have a two-burner LP gas stove, which is a very hot fire. We have an electric water heater.
I was going to say, somewhere on the trip, Terry became very hungry for homemade bread, and that was back when bread bakers were all the rage, so we still just bought Dukers, so homemade bread.
Mmm. So you enjoy cooking lightly.
When you're in a marina,
when you're starting to break up.
Yeah, I hear that too. Wind is breaking up a bit.
Uh-huh.
If you want to move the car a little bit, wind, that might help. But
I'll do that.
I'm going to break very quickly for a commercial, which will give you about a minute if that helps, Wynn. Just everybody hold on a minute.
Okay.
Winter Harbor Marina is located on the Oneida River, 1.5 miles west of Oneida Lake in Brewerton, New York, just minutes from Syracuse International Airport. Winter Harbor offers the lowest diesel fuel and gas prices from New York City to Canada. If you find a lower posted documented price, they will match it. Their amenities include complimentary courtesy vehicle, 24-hour pay-at-the-pump fueling, dockside water and cable TV, pristine bathrooms and showers, and emergency haul-out service. For more information, call 315-676-9276 or visit www.winterharborllc.com. Winter Harbor is a proud commander sponsor of AGLCA.
Thanks, Beth. Larry, tell us, did you have a stateroom, or did you kind of basically camp out in the back, or was there actually a room for a bed?
Oh, my. Well, it has a V berth. The Rossboro is bigger on the inside than on the outside. People say it's the roomiest 25-footer. On the market. It has a very comfortable V-berth that's wide. I'm 6 feet tall, and it's long enough for me. If you were 6'4", it might be uncomfortable. But then the dinette converts into a bed for 1.5 people that is 7 feet long. So you have to be cozy and good friends to sleep together in the dinette bed when you lower the dinette.
Uh-huh.
But it's 7 feet long, you know.
Uh-huh.
I know one Toronto family that took their Rossboro to the Bahamas, a new Rossboro. They had a room built at the back with canvas, very nice canvas on the back, around the back cockpit, and they took their two adult children and two Newfoundland dogs to the Bahamas and stayed like a week or two.
Uh-huh.
So here you have four full-grown adults and two Newfoundland
dogs,
large
right.
dogs I
guess they got to know each other really well.
I'm sure.
Let's get back to doing the loop. What were the advantages for you to do the loop in a smaller boat rather than one of the 48 or 50 footers?
Winning.
Oh, I think first off, it was the boat that we had. And so we said, well, let's just start. You know, if it doesn't work, we'll just say, okay, enough of that. We need to take a break and go home. And so we just kind of gave ourselves permission to get off the boat if we should ever find it cramped, but we never did.
Great. Did you get to go to a lot of different waterways that you would not have been? Well, I'm sorry, what is the draft of the Rossboro?
It's about 18 inches.
Wow.
So we would end the Everglades.
So you were able to go to many different creeks and waterways that you would not be able to go to in something that had a 4-foot draft.
Right. I never go in less than 2 feet of water if I can help it. But you tilt the engines up, you know, you can get into pretty skinny water. We were going across the Gulf and we hit a submerged log right on it at right angles, fortunately, not head on. But and I heard this big clunk. We heard a big clunk and the boat went up over the log and the engines rode up over the log. They tilted up. We just put it right on. It didn't damage a thing. Whereas if you had a typical cruiser with exposed running gear, propellers and drive shafts, you would have done thousands of dollars worth of damage. So
that's
it's a very durable boat.
No damage at all. Wonderful.
There was no damage, and we had no engine problems on the whole trip.
Really?
Right. We have it's a very reliable setup because there are fewer parts to break down. I remember when our friends at Marathon Florida on their 36-foot trawler, when they were having the bow thruster rebuilt, I said, well, when is our bow thruster? You know, she just pushes on the boat pole.
I can imagine it's got to be easier to dock and undock or go through locks.
I think all of those things are a little simpler.
I'll tell you what. Skipper Bob said buy the smallest boat on which you can be comfortable.
Yes.
Don't buy the biggest boat you can afford. Buy the smallest boat on which you can be comfortable if you want to cruise fairly economically and affordably. And that's what we do. We discovered that just intuitively. I mean, we bought what we could afford, and it worked out wonderfully. And it's a very comfortable boat for us. You know, it's not, not a huge yacht, and you can't get up and walk around as much as you can on a 40- or 50-foot boat. But what the heck, you know?
You can still get where you have to get to.
Were there any disadvantages
besides the obvious of just not as much room?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, certainly it was hard, and at first we really overpacked the boat and found ourselves just, you know, tossing things away and giving them away, and we really didn't need to take along as much stuff as we thought we needed. But I think the other thing that we really felt, and when we talk about whether we'll do the loop again, we always talk about will we do it in this boat versus another boat. And, you know, the prime disadvantage that I saw in this one is that it just wasn't feasible to call up a friend and say, hey, why don't you come and ride along with us for a couple of days or meet us somewhere and you can stay on the boat too. Because it just is a little too cozy for doing that. You know, it's
fine. Well, I have two other adults and two other dogs with you.
I apparently
wouldn't have made it through that.
Yeah, come and bring your dogs. Our boat is great. You know, you can take 6 or 7 people out for a boat ride on the boat for a day ride. But as they say, for a lot of trawlers, 4 for dinner. Wait, 6. How is it? 4 for dinner, 2 for overnight, or something like that, you know. maybe six during the day, four for dinner, and two for overnight. We did have one overnight guest years ago, and she and we were very unhappy. It was too much.
Well, at least it's honest of you. Thank you. I guess before we close up, we only have a few more minutes, but just quickly, the highlights of your loop.
Larry, you want to go first?
Oh, the people. Just great. So many wonderful people, and I think a lot of people say that.
Mm-hmm.
I loved New York City. We stopped, where many do not, we stopped at the West 79th Street Boat Basin, five blocks from Broadway. It was just a great experience to be on Manhattan. And we had good friends there that we visited. We visited them every other day for 8 days. Just wonderful. We went to the David Letterman show. I told him we'd come by water from Minneapolis to see Letterman. And they liked that.
Did anybody believe you?
Yeah, I think they did. I think the other thing that I'd say is that it's such a great way to see the country. You sort of get a sense of exactly how big it is, how different it is. You meet people all over the place. It's always fun to pull into a marina and see one or more looper flags so that you know that there are others out there making the same trip and you can compare notes with them. But it also was just a huge way to change our view of our everyday world. I mean, we came back and said, let's live in a smaller space than we've lived in before. It really changed the way that we approach life.
Can I ask, were you campers before you started boating?
I'm sorry,
well,
were you
I was.
What?
Campers. Did you camp
camper.
A lot before you started with a small boat?
No.
I did more than when.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I was sort of the person who, when I went camping in my youth, I was always the one who was known to bring the rain with her. So it was not something that I viewed as being a fun thing to do.
And I have to ask, were there any lowlights of the loop at all, something that you preferred not to do again?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's so funny. When we got back, we would look at pictures, and I truly would look at Larry, and I'd say, I don't even remember it raining. You know, we were blessed with a lot of good weather, and, of course, it did rain at different times. And of course, there were days when we were just sort of tired and worn out and didn't want to do it anymore. But beyond that, it just was such an extraordinary experience and such a lovely thing to do that I don't remember it with any negative feelings at all.
Fantastic.
May I say that on the plus side, it was really good for our relationship. We loved it. We loved being together that much. I did not enjoy the tent Tom as much as I thought I would.
Really?
And I missed the lack of connectivity to the internet. Now, this was in 2005 that we
went down.
And
the world is a different place now, obviously.
It's better, but I couldn't even get cell phone service except around where interstate highways would cross the 10 times generally. Now, I'm sure it's better now, you know. And then I thought it was, I think we fought depression a little bit. At least I did. Sometimes I felt like I was on a forced march.
I was cracking the whip with the schedule.
You had to get somewhere sometime.
Yeah. I mean, I would have stayed in Marathon in the Florida Keys for another month, but she wanted to get going, you know, so we went, because if she's not happy, nobody's happy.
That's definitely true.
But basically, we were happy. We loved it, and there were times when it was work, but it's like flying an airplane, you know. It's not totally relaxing. You have to be alert to do everything right and be mindful of what you're doing. And that's good.
Whether it's a small boat or a large boat or a canoe, it's just common sense and safety.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
I don't have any more questions. questions. Do you have anything you'd like to add before we close for the day?
When?
Well, the one thing that I would add is that, you know, there were I met many women on the trip who sort of said around the edges that maybe they were there more because their husbands wanted to be there than they wanted to be there. And, you know, so they had lots of concerns about being away from family and grandkids and all of that kind of thing. And I would say that for anyone, you know, taking or contemplating this kind of trip, just really think hard about opening yourself up to the possibility, because it just was such a life changer for me in terms of just having an adventure and kind of going with that adventure and just enjoying it. And I just, to me, it meant everything.
Wonderful. That's
and
a wonderful way to close. What a great sentiment. Well, I thank you very, very much, Lynn and Larry. One last question from me. Is there a second loop in the plan?
Larry?
I think hopefully.
Maybe we shouldn't go there. Sorry.
No, I'd like to do it. I'm up for it. I'd like to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, we do
I'm
keep talking about
retired.
I'm
semi-retired. I went back to work. I took several years off, and then I play for church. I'm a musician, so I play for 3 church services every weekend, but you know, it doesn't take all that much time, but I'd have to make an adjustment in my work schedule to go on the loop again.
So I hope you do it. Let us know, and thank you so much for being our co-host today. Have a great week,
thanks
everyone.
So
safe cruising,
thank you.
Stay well. Again, thanks very, very much, Lynn and Larry and Wynn. Talk to you soon.
You too. Take care, Jen.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
You're welcome. Bye.